Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
What's up, Deucers? Before we get started with the show today, I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you, that's right, you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. The best part is you can get all of this for only $15 a month. And I can tell you that that's a deal from the experience of being an independent podcaster. It's the wild, wild west out there, people. Blue Wire Hustle, it's a steal at $15 a month. It's the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you, and you wouldn't get any of the other stuff. It would just be the initial setup, and then you'd be left on your own. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports podcasting experience. But here's the thing. Acceptance to the program is limited. And that's in all caps, so you know it's limited. So get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description in the description box on this episode to find out more, and I'll have a link there. But that's bwbw, the word hustle, .com/join. Welcome into the NBA Morning Deuce for Thursday, February 25th. Alex?
11:46 p.m. on the East Coast.
It is 11:46 p.m. on the East Coast, as Alex just said. Hopefully, fingers crossed, hopefully we make it through an episode without Alex freezing in the middle of it. But we know that at least the strategy is I'll just keep talking until Alex finds his way back to us. We good with that, Alex?
Yeah, we're good with it. It's probably going to happen because I thought about texting you. I just streamed the games for the last couple hours. No problems. So,
Jesus. Well, now it's definitely going to happen because you just said that.
I know. I was going to text you that and then I was going to jinx it, but now I've jinxed it already. So,
yeah. Well, speaking of jinxes, I have a jinx that I believe happened tonight that we're going to talk about here in a second. We're going to go through all the games. As we're recording, the Lakers are getting butt smoked by the Jazz. They're down 23 with a little over three minutes left in the third quarter. So we'll see if I have to do live reaction at, like before, if they come back, but I don't think that's going to happen. They look, well, it's a combination of things. The Jazz look unbelievable and the Lakers have looked bad since AD got hurt. So we'll talk about that in a sec. The second half of the season schedule was released. I haven't really gone through the games. I know like the schedules. I know people are saying like winners and losers and whose schedules are easy. There is, I do have one thing from an article that I read. I think it was the ESPN article about it that I find interesting. So we'll go over that later. And the T-Wolves, excuse me, the NBA Coaches Association released a statement about the T-Wolves situation.
Mm.
So, which is good. I'll read that later. But first, obviously, we got to do our, you know, Top Shot update. I am officially a Top Shot owner. I am the owner of one Mike Conley NBA Top Shot that I bought for $27. And I am now officially all in on the Utah Jazz going to the finals and Mike Conley winning finals MVP so I can get rich.
Yeah, I'll root for that. I am a proud owner of a second player now, Joey. I bought a TJ McConnell one.
How much money are you throwing at this thing? Golly. I mean,
so I, during this move, I, my last month's rent was paid and then my first month's rent was paid in the deposit. So it was almost like I didn't have any rent to pay. So definitely not the most responsible decision making, but I own TJ McConnell making a nice pass now.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
The thought is related to a question I want to ask our guy if we can get him on here, but it has to do with the challenges. Have you dove into the challenges?
I actually just got an alert from the NBA Top Shot Discord about tomorrow's premium pack drop.
God, we are all in on Top Shots.
Tomorrow's the day. Tomorrow's the day that our lives change forever when this premium pack drop happens.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who don't know how this thing works, just Google it. Cause I don't, honestly, I would give you the details, but since we've never gotten a pack yet, I don't want any of you in there.
Exactly.
I want as few people as possible.
I'm worried about flooding the market. If all of our listeners go, we're not going to be able to get any packs.
Like, yeah, that's a good point. It says, please refrain from depositing funds into your Dapper balance for the sole sake of potentially grabbing one. Not everyone will be able to score one with the demand we see around this feature drop. Good luck.
Makes sense.
Well, you don't have to have money in your account to get it. You could just just have to have a card connected to your account. And then, because that's what happened with Mike Conley. I just had the card. I didn't have $27 in the Dapper account. I just paid with my card.
I think people don't realize that. And people that have been in the queue are worried that, you know, if they can get they're going to be screwed.
Yeah. Oh, I was the first drop that I was in the queue for. I was worried.
Yeah,
it's like, do I need to have money ready?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm ready. I'm ready for tomorrow. I think tomorrow's going to be a big day for us.
Me too.
I think tomorrow's potentially life-changing.
Potentially. Yeah, every day can be life-changing if you make it that way. If you have an outlook.
Oh, like Holmes, what'd you make it? You like to see homos naked? Holmes, what'd you know?
I don't know it.
Guy likes to see homos naked. It's Joe Dirt.
Ah, Joe. It's a good movie. Okay. All right, should we talk about things people actually know what we're talking about now?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like our listeners, if they listen to the if someone's listening to the show, they probably somewhat enjoy our Top Shot talk. Top Shot is sweeping the nation, sweeping the world. So you got to talk about it. This is an NBA show. It's the biggest NBA thing going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're sort of like plotting our way towards this stupid All-Star game. So Top Shot is more important. But yeah, we could talk about basketball. So the Lakers are still getting beat up. They're down 26 now. So let's talk about the game that actually just ended before we started recording, which is Phoenix-Charlotte. Now, I have an interesting take on this game. Charlotte beats Phoenix 124-121. The spread in this game was like 9.5 or something because Phoenix has been rolling. And Devin Booker finished with 33, which on first glance, you're like, oh, that's a really good game. 13-24, 4-10. No. Now, I might be biased on this because I bet that Devin Booker would score 34 points.
So you are biased. There's no might.
I might be biased on this, but I think there was an anticipation that because of what happened yesterday, that he got snubbed, that Devin Booker was going to come out and have like a 50-point game, at least a 40-point game. That was my thought. But LeBron James jinxed Devin Booker, and he jinxed the Suns. When he tweeted that Devin Booker is the most disrespected player in the NBA yesterday, he immediately became not the most disrespected player in the NBA, because the best player on the planet and one of the most influential athletes in the history of sports told his 50 million followers that Devin Booker is the most disrespected player. So he immediately becomes not disrespected. So instead of coming into the game with a little bit more of a chip on his shoulder, Devin Booker comes into this game with the validation of the greatest player to ever play basketball. And to pile on top of that, he was named the replacement for Anthony Davis. So he is an all-star. So it's Adam Silver's fault too. So 33 points, great. Cool, 33 points. 35 points, you would have won the game. No, actually, you wouldn't have. They lost by three. 36 points, you would have gone to overtime. 37, win the game. 40, there's no question. But he didn't get 40. He got 33.
That's a pretty elaborate theory he got going. Do you think it's like an
advanced... I believe in sports karma. Not a religious person, but I believe in sports karma.
Is this like an advanced chess move by LeBron James because he knows the Suns are the real deal and he's trying to, you know, ease Booker into a sense of security, a false sense of security, so he can smash them in the playoffs? Or
if this is the beginning of like a huge losing streak for the Suns, we will be revisiting this theory.
Okay.
Now, they shouldn't have lost this game. They shouldn't have lost this game at home against the Hornets, who have not been playing great. They gave up 124 points to the Hornets. Can't lose this game.
I gotta say, I think you've completely buried the lead here, which is Malik Monk, 29 points, absolute stud.
No, I'm not talking about the Hornets yet. We can talk about the Hornets.
I just love Malik Monk. I just love him.
I know you do. I know you do. We could talk about the Hornets because that's all I had on the Suns. Well, Booker, here's the thing. Book had 16 points in the first quarter. So really, it is a disappointing game.
Yeah.
When you open with 16 points, you finish with 33 and you lose. Mm-hmm. That's disappointing.
It is, especially when you bet him to get 34.
Yeah, but a lot of people I think his actual over under was like 27. I juiced it to like 34 because
a little odds boost, a little.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he wouldn't have won much at like 27 was not good. Toss up. Yeah. Yeah. But anyways, so yeah, Malik Monk played good. He does this. This is like a once a week thing for him now where he just goes off randomly. I feel like they could probably get some value for him if they wanted to move him.
Yeah. But I mean, they're up. And, I mean, he's still super young. I would just ride it out. So, I mean, this could be a six man.
Yeah. Devontae Graham is not playing right now. So I don't know how much that impacts him having more playing time consistently. But sure. My takeaway from this game was that at the end of the game, LaMelo Ball was the guy. Every possession. It was just him. He was their go-to at the end of the game, which is just another evolution of what he could potentially become. And he turned the ball over in a really crucial situation, but he also had a couple possessions where he just drove by whoever was guarding. One time it was Jay Crowder, another time it was Chris Paul. Like, they just couldn't stop him from getting to the rim. He's a good basketball player.
Yeah. No, that's what I want to see from him, is more aggressive in the scoring department. I mean, there's just no doubt he's just an unbelievable passer, and he does everything you want on the stat sheet. But 20 points and beating a really good team, I mean, those are the type of games that start to change my perception of him.
I think he's doing that more than you realize. I just don't know if you're paying attention to LaMelo Ball because you hate LaMelo Ball.
I don't hate LaMelo. I mean, he's averaging 14 and a half a game. I don't know. I like it. I like seeing him be a little bit more aggressive down the stretch.
Yeah.
In a game that matters, you know?
Well, for a team like this, every game matters because they're on the outside looking in.
In a game where you're playing a very good team.
Since January 30th, he's averaging 20 a game.
It's good. It's good. Good for LaMelo Ball.
That's, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying that's a little better than 14. That's mm-hmm. what you wanted to see.
Yeah. So
that means he's been doing it for a month.
Sustaining something that I like.
That means he's been doing it for a month.
It's one of our more passive aggressive arguments.
Maybe get your glasses checked. Oh, here we go. Yeah. Oh, here we go. I see it happening.
What?
The freeze is coming.
No, I'm locked in. I'm good.
All right. We'll see. It's just a matter of time here. Your audio still sounds good, but I see the freeze coming. Let's talk about the Heat, because Miami won their fourth in a row, 8 out of their last 11 now. They're all of a sudden they're a 7 seed. They beat the Raptors tonight, 116-108. They are suddenly 7th in the East and a game back of 4th in the East. Like I said, they've won 8 of their last 11. And since February 5th, when this 8 of 11 started, number one defense in the NBA.
You love to see.
They are playing.
We were teetering on the panic button. Teetering. Oh, we were right above it.
I think we were. We were right.
You may have grazed it with your hand.
I think I said there was panic and mm-hmm. it was happening. Jimmy Butler had a great game. Closed it. It looked like he wasn't going to have a great game scoring the ball. And then he finishes with 27. Goran Dragic came back. Had 15. That's good. He only played 20 minutes, so they'll ease him back. Tyler Herro still didn't play, but they're about as close to healthy as they've been. They still don't have best defense in the NBA over the past month or so. No Avery Bradley still.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Herro has been hurt. They're starting to look now. Again, I'm not going to ever stop this. I'm going to shame Kelly Olynyk until the Heat make a move for a 4. He is now 4 for 34 from 3. Since the start of the West Coast road trip.
My God. Well, it just sucks because, like, heading into the season, Harkless was supposed to be the guy, and it just failed. It just failed so bad.
Yeah.
And so it's not like they went into the season wanting Olynyk to be the starting 4. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they got to make a move. But it's really nice to see them, like, get on track here. Did Siakam get hurt? I see he only played 24 minutes and he had 5 points.
We had 4 fouls. That might have been part of it. I don't think so, but I don't remember. Yeah, I'll be honest. I missed a good portion of the first half. Hmm. But
I'm just looking at his number. Like, it's a horrible game for him. And, you know, and these two teams.
Well, he's starting at the 5, and he's having to guard and be guarded by Bam.
Yeah.
Bam, who had over the last couple weeks has taken his defense, he's been a great defender, but now he's like an elite defender. I mean, after what he did to LeBron James, Pascal Siakam is nothing.
The second best Cameroonian player in the NBA, Pascal Siakam. Embiid's first.
I forgot that Joel Embiid. I was like, Luke Mbamute is not in the NBA anymore. the Raptors have now lost 2 in a row. They had won. They were playing really good. Not that they're playing bad. They lost to Philly and they lost to Miami. So, but since they went to the small ball, this is the first little slip.
Yeah.
Another good thing for Miami here is Kendrick Nunn not getting the shot attempts that he was getting on the West Coast, but still 7 assists. That's a big deal for them because as guys get healthy, he's not going to get the volume shooting. And he's got to be able to prove that he can contribute to that team in other ways. And now I think he had 9 assists last game, which was a career high, and then 7 assists in this game. So
that's awesome.
That's really big for them. If he can be a legitimate, not just like a 6-man scoring type, but like a legit point guard, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. then Tyler Herro doesn't have to run the point all the time. It doesn't always have to be Jimmy Butler. They have another guy in addition to Goran, who is up and down because of his health.
Yeah.
It's good. He's really emerged as a big piece for that team.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up their schedule. Like, if they can continue this into the All-Star.
Well, they play Utah next, and then they have 2 against Atlanta, and then they play New Orleans. Mm. So it's, you know, look, Utah obviously is going to be a very tough game for anybody in the NBA at this point. Atlanta, who knows? They we'll talk about them in a second. They played well tonight, but they beat Boston, who looks terrible. Mm-hmm. So those are both really winnable. And then New Orleans is up and down. Like, New Orleans wins games, but they're like the 28th ranked defense in the NBA. So I would say three of those four are pretty winnable. Utah is winnable. Any game's winnable, but you know, you don't go into this Utah game expecting to get a dub. Mm-hmm. But if you can, you know, if you could go into All-Star break having their eight of their last 11. So if they win three of their next four, it would be 11 of 15 to heading into All-Star break. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I think it's 11 of 14. I think it's 11 of 14, but, or did you say win three of four?
I said win three of four.
Okay. Then you're right. Yeah. Your math checks out then.
Come on, dude. Questioning my math.
Your math isn't 100% accurate on the show.
How often do I do math on the show?
Not very often.
It's not really a big math show.
I know.
I'm good with like quick adding anything past that.
Not very in trouble. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we can move past the math.
I don't know. I feel like people may want to hear us talk about math.
Probably not, but if they do, leave a comment. Review, subscribe.
Hey, somebody leave a comment.
Stop out anything. You want to talk
Brian,
about
by physics? The way, Brian was pumped. And he did listen to the very end of the show yesterday and texted me. And he was very happy about it. So now this is the second day in a row he's getting his name mentioned. Amazing. So we'll see. I think Miami, this is their offense still not great. But defensively, five of those eight games, they've held their opponent under 100 points. That's crazy.
Big. That's really big.
It's a crazy number in the NBA. Crazy number.
Yeah.
So good stretch of basketball for that team. Speaking of the Pelicans, Zion, another 30 point game tonight. They beat the Pistons 128-118. Steven Adams is back, and he did something really funny. Do you know what a kip up is?
No.
Like, it's like in wrestling, like professional wrestling, when a guy's like on his back. And then he like pushes, he like kicks his legs in the air and gets back up on his feet.
Oh, that's what that's called?
Yeah. That's what they call it in wrestling. I don't know if there's like another word for it, but that's what they call it in wrestling. He I don't know if he took a charge, but I saw a video of it and he just like acted like he was going to try and do it and just like kicked his legs out. It just didn't go. And just didn't go. Say, and just didn't if, go anywhere.
If he was capable of doing that, that'd be unbelievable. At like 7 foot, probably close to 280 or something.
It was pretty funny. I don't know if this is his first game back, but he had a double double. And Zion just continues. We'll bounce back because Zion's last game, I don't think was great, but 13 of 18, 32 points. I'm still a proponent that he maybe didn't necessarily deserve because this team is not good to be in the All-Star game, but I guess now it doesn't matter because Booker made it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. And that there wasn't any like other horrible snubs in the West, right?
There are a lot of people questioning, like, how does Brandon Ingram not make it if Zion made it, but you can't have two guys from a non-playoff team.
Right. And Zion's leading the team in scoring. I mean, I don't have a problem with it.
But Brandon Ingram was an All-Star last year, and his numbers are up across the board. So yeah, it is a legitimate question, I think.
Yeah.
But where are they? I don't know if the standings pulled up. Where are they right now in the West? They're creeping, right? Like, they're creeping towards potentially.
That win's going to go towards it. They are 14 and 7. No, they're still three games back of the 8 seed. So.
Well, yeah, they suck. They stink. Okay. Who else? What
talked about Atlanta. We can go maybe move to that Atlanta Boston game.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You want to talk about Gallo, huh?
I did. Well, this game, like,
there's a few things to talk about in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta wins 127-117. For you, it's what?
It just seems like one of those games for the Celtics where, like, when it rains, it pours. Like, they're not playing well, and then they run into the Hawks, who literally couldn't miss tonight. They were 23 of 42 from three. And like, I watched the highlights and like, they're just hoisting up like 35 footers going at, like, Boston had no shot tonight with the way the Hawks were shooting. And they've got major rim protection problems. So I mean, this, they had no shot tonight based on the highlights.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for the, this sort of reeks of a team. Like, remember I said, it's going to get, start to get pretty ugly as we hit the home stretch for All-Star. The Celtics, this game reeks of a get us to All-Star break now.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum, 4 for 20, 13 points. Jaylen Brown, 17. That's got to be one of the few. I don't know because I didn't check it, but it's got to be one of the only times this year that they both played and neither of them scored 20. They're averaging 26 each.
Yeah.
So.
I bet you it is the only time this year.
This team also, by the way, since Danny Ainge said they're not a championship team, they're 1-3. They've now lost three in a row.
I said it last night. I think
sports karma, baby.
I think a major move is coming. I was trying to think, like,
I don't know what they can do though. Like, I don't know what, where the money is. Unless they want to trade picks and young players, and I guess the only player that makes enough money to go out and get an impact player is Kemba, and I don't know that many teams are going to take Kemba right now.
Yeah. I think if you do Kemba and like a first, and I know their first isn't that valuable, I think you can get a piece that really, that makes the team look different, you know?
Yeah, but you probably have to throw in like Peyton Pritchard. I don't think, it depends on what you mean by major. But if you mean major, like a stud to
really not necessarily a stud, but I just mean a stud, like a new guy for the starting lineup for sure. Oh,
yeah. Well, they're probably waiting on the buyouts. Too.
Yeah.
Which now, what does that mean? Like, would Blake Griffin or Andre Drummond or Boogie really make that much of an impact on this team right now? No. I think they need somebody with more of an impact than those guys. Like, this team is rough right now.
They are. But I still think, like, I think they turn this around. I'm still heavy on Boston being a contender in the East. I think Blake Griffin does help this team a lot potentially. And I don't know. Sorry. I thought you froze for a second. It threw off my whole groove here, but, I'd like to see Blake Griffin. Go
I
did. Here.
I froze with it from that stupid take.
You froze, but you like in real life, you froze.
Yeah.
The internet feed was fine.
It's maybe just because that take was so cold. It froze me.
Got it. Tatum and Jaylen Brown are just too good for them to be this like mediocre of a team. Like, this is a really good team in my opinion.
And they are currently the 9 seed in the East.
Woof.
Couldn't have predicted that at any point.
No, right?
Right behind the Heat, who are the 8 seed.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but maybe something will happen for them during All-Star break. I just don't know what the move is because of the way their roster. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I would take Marcus Smart. Are they willing to give up Marcus Smart? I would think not, because it seems as though this bad stretch has correlated pretty directly with him not playing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's hands down their anchor on defense. I think he's more valuable to that team right now than Kemba. Even though when Kemba plays well, they do tend to play well. But he does. I think he has more value than Kemba.
Well, that makes sense because what Kemba gives you in terms of scoring, you have with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. But I mean,
I also think his contract is less money, and he's known, he has an elite skill. Kemba doesn't have an elite skill anymore. Mm-hmm. Kemba is a high level scorer. He's not an elite scorer. There was a point a couple years where you could call him an elite scorer. He's not that anymore. He's in the right role as like your third best scorer on a team. But Marcus Smart is a defensive player of the year candidate. Like, he's that good. He's an all NBA first team defensive player. So he has more value and he makes way less money. So I think if they're going to make a move, he's their most valuable piece other than the guys who are obviously not going anywhere. And I think Peyton Pritchard's got some value.
You love Peyton Pritchard. I like Aaron Naismith.
He's good. He's good.
That's good. Part of the reason why
they're both good.
Yeah. I just feel like this team's going to look different by playoff time, and they're going to be back in the fold as
I mean, when your GM is openly saying we're not a championship team, every team's goal is to be a championship team. So clearly something's coming.
Yeah.
You would think. What a prick. I wonder, you know, I think like some of these old school guys, like that was probably his way of maybe like subtly like motivating the team. That didn't work.
Yeah. It's probably had everyone like looking over their shoulder, honestly.
Yeah. Well, especially because they know he's never been afraid to pull the trigger on a deal, you know, especially if you're the starting point guard.
Yeah.
And think about
basically
that.
Basically, like, don't buy a home in Boston if you're a starting point guard.
Yeah. All right. Oh, we got to go to the, we got to talk about this OKC game.
Yeah.
I feel like I owe that guy that tweeted at me yesterday an apology.
After Shea goes for 42.
Best game of his career tonight. 42 points on 13 of 20 from the field, 6 of 11 from three. I mean, he just, I thought this game was a lock for the Spurs. I actually bet it at a parlay, but so I didn't win it. But Shea just dominated, which is absolutely dominant. So
maybe you can hit that guy up on Twitter and say, I'll apologize to you about Shea if you apologize for calling me a casual.
He didn't call me a casual. Different guy.
Oh, I thought you got called casual by that guy too.
No, I got called casual by another guy. He said, do you even watch the games?
Oh, yeah, you should get
actually, he may have said, do you even watch Thunder clips? Which is a weird way of asking about it.
You seen every game those teams have played?
Well, I was going to respond like, listen to the podcast. I watch a lot of basketball, but yeah. And it was on the podcast Twitter account. So I wanted to be like, you are responding to an NBA podcast that's 5 days a week that talks about every game in the NBA. But anyways, I digress. I don't know. Do I owe this guy an apology?
Nah, fuck him.
Yeah, it's true.
Great game for Shea.
DeMar DeRozan didn't play. How could I have known DeMar DeRozan wasn't going to play?
Couldn't have. No possible way. We got a Lou Dort. Did you see the
game
the,
winner?
Sam Presti probably almost fell out of his chair in anguish. No, I mean like in a bad way. Like, what? Like, why are we getting our 13th win of the season?
Oh,
like,
I thought.
What are you doing, Lou Dort? Like,
oh, low paid players. Shining.
Sam Presti didn't think this team was going to sniff 13 wins, and they've got it by the
All-Star. Well, you know what? You want to know a great way for him to not win games? Trade Al Horford. He's so damn good. He's playing his best basketball since he was an All-Star in 2017-18. It's not even close. He's playing very, very good basketball. He had the assist to Lou Dort. Drove to
the paint. I saw it, yeah.
It was a drive and kick by Al Horford. 7 assists. He's averaging 14 a game, and this game 16-7-7. I get it. 3 years at the money that he's getting paid for a 34-year-old is not great. It's actually very –
it's very bad, actually.
It was terrible when he was on Philly. It's a lot more acceptable the way he's playing right now. And any championship-level team – if you could afford him,
would Kemba and Al Horford work money wise if you just traded those two players?
Why would OKC do that?
Well, Boston would have to send a pick for sure. And we know they like those.
Oh my God. If Sam Presti's listening right now, he is fully torqued.
He's already drafting up an email to.
He's like,
how do you think they negotiate?
Email? Like, it was the quickest recovery ever. He watched the Lou Dort highlight. He was like, and then he heard you say draft picks. He's like, boing. You like that?
Give me Kemba Walker. Yeah, like that.
Draft picks. It's just tucking it up into his waistband.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's no, that's not how I feel about draft picks. What were you saying? Oh yeah, Kemba for Al Horford. I think Kemba makes more money, but it's at a point where you can.
Yeah,
it's negligible with like throwing other pieces in. So. Mm-hmm. That would be awesome. I mean, not for Kemba.
That would suck for Kemba.
But I will tell you what, you want to talk about a fan base who would absolutely love Kemba. There is no fan base, at least on social media, like this OKC Thunder fan base. These people,
I know,
they are obsessive about this shitty team. Like, there are these like fan accounts that just will tweet, I love this team.
That's it.
It's just like, I saw a tweet today. I was like, I don't even know. Why do I follow this guy? And I was like, oh, he's a OKC person. He tweets about OKC. And his whole tweet was just like, I love this team.
Good for him. That's truly how I felt about the Sixers when they were absolute dog shit. And like,
I remember that. I meant to bring up earlier, like, do you remember back then when we were working together and I would always tell you like TJ McConnell is the best point guard on your team?
Yeah.
And you would get really angry.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I wasn't in a great place back then.
I don't think either of
us pretty fired up.
I don't think either of us were, but hey, yeah. I wasn't entirely wrong, was I?
And now I'm buying top shots of TJ McConnell.
That's what I mean. That's why I was going to bring it up. So, yeah, I mean, Horford there would, I guess for Kemba would make some sense. Although I don't know that Horford is the piece that puts the Celtics over the top, but he definitely makes them better.
Yeah.
Definitely makes them better. I don't know who else. Like, I just don't know what team has the money to make that move.
Or a guy making that amount of money that they want to get rid of, you know?
I wonder sometimes too, like, OKC, if your goal is to maximize your draft picks, would you consider just buying him out? I guess, no, he makes way too much. He's not in the last year's deal.
That would be a hell of a buyout.
Yeah, couldn't do that. I don't know, but he's playing really good basketball. Some team could absolutely use him for a playoff run.
Yep.
Any team.
Except the Sixers, because we know that doesn't work.
Not the Sixers, but any team that has hasn't already tried it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was thinking about the Clippers and like Luke Kennard, because they paid him a decent amount of money, and like Nick Batum, like, could they like piece together some of these? Could they piece together some of those, like Zubats? Yeah, who cares about him? Like, you got Serge Ibaka. Zubats is fine, but like, could you do? Oh no, Kennard only makes $5 million, so that wouldn't work.
Hmm.
Pat Beverly makes $13 million.
I'll do that.
Zubats makes $7 million, and Kennard makes $5 million. That's $25 million right there.
I think I would do that if I was the Clippers. And then you've got Serge and Al Horford to presumably try to handle Anthony Davis in the playoffs.
And then you can throw Reggie Jackson into the starting lineup, who is arguably better, at least offensively, than Pat Beverly now. And then Lou Williams will play a lot at the point. When you have two stars like Paul George and Kawhi, they end up running the point a ton anyways.
Right. And so, those are like, why do you need Pat Beverly's only real attribute is his defense, and you've got two of the best wing defenders already.
And he is going to lose you a game in the playoffs.
He stinks.
By doing something stupid, getting teed up, making a dumb play. Like, he's going to lose you a game or two in the playoffs. He's a liability. And he makes $13 million is too much for him. Mm-hmm. And I remember when he signed that deal, everyone was like, this is the steal. This is one of the steals of the offseason. $13 million for a guy who, a 3-and-D guy like Pat Beverly, that contract is aging very poorly. You know, $13 million is not a ton of money in the NBA anymore. That's how bad Pat Beverly is now. At least in my estimation. I don't know how Clippers fans feel. I'm sure they like him, but I think he stinks and he's a scumbag.
Quite the tangent there, but
he is.
Yeah, no. By the way, I'm just talking about, we started this on the Thunder Spurs game, and now we're talking about it.
Well, the Clippers didn't play. We're talking about him trading the Clippers.
Yeah.
But since we're on Pat Beverly, I don't know if you saw this, because we didn't get to mention the other day when he fouled Jeff Green and hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a video afterwards, after the show, of him mocking Jeff Green.
I saw that, but I had the TV on mute. I literally saw that, and if I had my DVR set up, I would have gone back. That was I didn't want to call him out on it on the podcast because I wasn't sure, but I know the exact moment you're talking about. And I was
He was holding his shoulder.
He's a prick.
Yeah.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know, since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
You know who's not a prick? You ready for this transition?
Mm-hmm.
Zach LaVine's not a prick.
Yeah, that guy. Zach LaVine, really good.
Zach LaVine, every night, just continuing to establish himself as obviously one of the most talented players, but one of the closers in this league. He's just another 35 tonight. The Bulls beat the T-Wolves 133-126. By the way, I don't know if I said it, but OKC beat the Spurs 102-99.
I think you did, yeah.
Chicago beat Minnesota in overtime. In overtime, 133-126. Zach LaVine goes for 35. I think this team is so ahead of schedule. They're playing so good.
You know what the absolute number one indicator of that is their record against the spread is outrageous. Vegas has no feel for this team. They cover the spread again. They're now 20-12 against the spread, which is outrageous. Like if you just bet the Bulls against the spread every night to start the season, you'd be up huge. And that really is to me an indicator of a team that's ahead of schedule, because Vegas doesn't know what to do with the lines in this team.
Yeah. They're 15-16 now. They're the sixth seed in the East. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't have – no way. I was very adamant at the beginning of the year that they were a year at least away.
I believe I mentioned I was bullish on Chicago this year.
Yeah, but that's because you're, like, kind of attracted to Lauri Markkanen. He's not even playing.
Kind of. No, I'm outright attracted to him.
He's not even playing. The, you know?
No, so they have young pieces –
No, they do. I told you. I said it last time, like in their last win. This is a scary team for somebody having to play them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like right now, if the playoffs started today, they'd be playing Milwaukee in the first round. Chicago versus Milwaukee in the first round.
They're
like 45 minutes away from each other.
Yeah.
Take a bus to that game.
Ooh.
That would be a fun series.
It really would.
Who's stopping Zach LaVine? Nobody. Drew, I guess, would guard him.
Yeah, try. I mean, yeah. Then
he could try.
Zach LaVine can score on anybody. I really believe that.
Drew guarding Zach LaVine, Thaddeus Young and Patrick Williams guarding Giannis.
The Bulls getting back on defense so Giannis doesn't have a good game.
Dude, Billy Donovan knows. Billy Donovan knows.
He does.
If you know, listen, if you think there's something you know Billy Donovan doesn't know, Billy Donovan knows.
There isn't, except maybe about like video editing.
You're talking about a two-time national champion. Okay? Yeah. Billy Donovan. I can't even reference. No, he is a two-time.
Yeah, okay.
One back-to-back national championship.
I know. Beat Villanova in Elite Eight, I think. Almost cried.
I can't believe I'm even bragging about that. I can't believe I'm like boosting that. It's like a miserable time for Florida State.
Yeah.
Florida was winning everything. Well, Florida State's 11th in the country now. Bet you didn't know that.
I haven't watched a second of college basketball.
Either way. I've bet on it here and there. I follow Florida State. I haven't watched any of their games, but I know they're really good. They have a kid who's probably a lottery pick, Scotty Barnes. Go Florida State.
I've got nothing. I can't contribute. I'm happy for Florida State.
Yeah, let's go, Coach Ham. Let's get that national title and retire right off into the sunset. And, you know, he'll never retire. He looks like he's like 50. I don't know if the last time you've seen Leonard Hamilton. He's like 70-something. He looks 50. Jake, good for take him. A look when you check. That's another tangent. What game are we talking about? Oh, the Bulls.
Bulls, T-Wolves.
Yeah, T-Wolves. Rough start. Rough start to the Chris Finch era.
Mm-hmm.
0-2. Can't. I'll be interested to see, what is the expectation for this guy this year, right?
It has to be, a legitimate.
Better than what they were doing.
Well, it has to be a legitimate expectation because they axed Ryan Saunders without his two best players. So, like, they expected something out of Ryan Saunders. So,
yes, but they also, I guess, expect this guy to be the future coach. They gave him a multi-year deal. So, is there a leash? Like, you know,
it's a debacle.
That's not good. We're going to get into that in a second when I read that quote, which the statement's not mind-blowing. It's good that they released a statement. The Cat's still playing well. Anthony Edwards he's volume shooting, but he's still playing well across the board. Yeah. I love that kid. I just want to see him succeed, to be honest. I like some of the other guys on this team, but I really like him. I want him to be well.
I do too, yeah. I really like Malik Beasley too, man. He's
yeah, cool. Other than like the gun charges and all.
Right. Know, well,
the house arrest.
And, it happens.
But he's, you know where he went to school?
FSU, baby. He's a Knoll.
You got damn right he did.
Yeah.
God damn right. What other games are left that we have not discussed? Oh.
Houston, Cleveland.
Yeah, Houston. It's just There's not a whole lot to be said about them. What's this now? 8 in a row?
I think
9 in a row.
They were 500 when the skid started. Now 11 and 19.
When Christian Wood got hurt. I think they're I'm pretty sure they're still.
They were one game over 500 and now are 11 and 9.
They've lost 9 in a row. It's the longest losing streak in the league. Sacramento has lost 8. And I think Sacramento is in a much worse spot, to be honest, because
they're Sacramento.
They don't have – well, there's nothing there. Like Sacramento, this team was supposed to be a borderline playoff team. It's not like they have a bunch of assets. Like these young guys are their young guys.
Yeah.
Houston is totally rebuilding. But that being said, this just sucks. I just know that how bad this sucks for anybody in an organization. Like Steven Silas is actually uniquely built to go through a situation like this because of what we went through in Charlotte. Like he's been part of the worst of the worst rebuilding situations. Mm-hmm. So he is sort of uniquely suited to lead a team through this because he's seen how to handle it and how not to handle it. But it's just a miserable existence. Just going in and not feeling like you can win game. It just sucks, dude.
It's probably the silver lining is that Christian Wood will be back, right? Like, you were a solid team when he was there, so maybe it won't be totally bleak.
Right. And then the Warriors. Oh, do we need to talk about Cleveland? They've won 2 in a row now.
Yeah, probably don't need it. They're not very good, but they're a fun team.
I love Colin Sexton. He's gotten
so good.
I wonder, again, he's another one who, just from a skill, like when we talk about the most improved player award, watch his game last year and watch his game this year. He is one of the most improved players in the league. His stats may not be better, but he's one of the most improved. Mm-hmm. Or his stats might be better, but they may not be better to the where like you're going to give him most improved player. But if you watch his skill set, it's much better.
Yeah.
And Jared Allen, 26 and 18.
Stuck. Got it. They have a solid core. They really do.
Those two guys for sure.
And we like Isaac Okoro too. You know that.
Well, if he could develop into something, they could have something there. I don't know that he's ever going to be that guy, like the go-to wing scorer. Mm-hmm. But he's a good player. I really like Sexton. I really like Jared Allen. Warriors beat the Pacers. That's sort of a letdown for the Pacers. I thought in a similar fashion to Book, I thought Sabonis would come out. I mean, he had 22 and 16, but I thought come out and make a statement.
Yeah.
Win this game after getting snubbed. Didn't happen. Steph Curry, 24, 8 and 8. Good game. Warriors are playing good basketball. Steve Kerr had a comment basically talking about how people are drastically overlooking Steph Curry's defense this year because of how good he's playing on offense.
Interesting.
And that he's playing the best defense of his career, which is interesting. I've always thought he was a good defender I've always thought like people always sort of assume that a guy like Steph Curry, because of his build and his size and that he's one of the best scorers ever, that he's not a good defender. He's always been a solid defender. He's never been a negative.
I also think there's this interpretation of like, if you're not a lockdown one-on-one defender, then you're not necessarily a good defender, but he plays great team defense. Like he plays within that Warriors defense really well. And he's active
and he plays
that
hard.
Makes you a good defender.
And he plays hard. He plays hard. Like he fights pick and rolls. He chases guys. Like he's not, and he's smart. Yeah. He's not like he's good in help. So, and they're the eights. Like, dude, it's crazy how the East, we talked so much about how much better the East was this year, but the Warriors are 18 and 15, and they're the 8 seed right now in the West.
It's really weird to look at.
That would be an electric first round series, by the way.
Jazz Warriors. I would put some money on the Warriors. Money on the Warriors for the value.
The way the Jazz are playing is the way the Warriors played before they got KD. And now they played the same with KD. It was just a different thing. But like the way they're playing now, which is a bunch of wing players who space the floor, pass the ball, and knock down threes and just score at will. And then they're anchored by one of the best defensive players. It's very similar without
the star power. far, really.
Well, that one of the best point guards to ever play the game, and arguably the second or third best shooter to ever play. Like, that's that, but it's a similar thing. Like
the style,
played,
yeah,
you know, right. Played together for a few years before they sort of emerged and became this elite team. Mm-hmm. So it'd be interesting to see that in a 7-game series. So a lot of time ago. And then speaking of the Jazz, by the way, that game is official. They beat the Lakers. They are so damn good. Like, I know it's still hard to buy them as a, you know, winning the West, which really, I don't think they're going to win the, I still don't think they'll win the West, obviously, if the Lakers are healthy, but, and the Lakers are not healthy right now. But my question from this game is, the Lakers have lost 4 in a row now. And we, at what point does the losing become a concern?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what was absolutely glaring to me, and you've mentioned it on here before, but Marc Gasol cannot move. The guy can't move defensively. Yeah. I don't know what their schedule looks like moving forward, but they're not in a position to beat really good teams without Anthony Davis. Like, I don't even think they really – every single possession, it seemed like the Jazz were getting a good shot because they passed so well, and then they had no answer on when guys would – go to the rim and then just dish to Gobert because Gasol can't move laterally. He just can't anymore.
Yeah. They play Portland, Golden State, Phoenix, and Sacramento before the break. That's not easy.
That's not easy. So yeah, to answer your question.
Luckily for them, Sacramento is their last game before the break. But in my experience, the last game before the break for any team is a losable game because everyone's just ready for the break.
Yeah. I feel that. But to answer your question, I think this becomes a major concern just as soon as you know the details with Anthony Davis. If Anthony Davis is going to be healthy in a month, I'm not worried because I know this team's going to make the playoffs.
Right, but I also think I said this the other day, like, okay, what if Anthony Davis is out even a couple months and they dig themselves into such a hole to where they're like the 5 or the 6 seed?
Yeah.
You're no longer a lock to go to the finals. You're still probably beating any team in a 7-game series, but it becomes a lot harder.
Agreed. Yeah, they would in that scenario make it a lot tougher on themselves. But I'm not worried. I still pick them to win the West.
You want to hear a funny tweet?
Yeah.
If Luka didn't attempt as many difficult threes, his 3-point percentage would be higher. He's been decent and solid when it comes to 3-point shooting.
Wow, that's special. That's special analysis right there.
This is a Twitter account that has 3,000 followers. That's Twitter. Here's one. Malik,
everybody.
This is funny, dude. This is pretty funny. Malik Monk is averaging 29 points and 5 threes per game on 48, 50, and 100% free throw shooting since being snubbed for the All-Star game.
That I agree with. Guy should be in the guy should be a starter.
That's a great tweet.
Yeah.
By the way, that's a great tweet. Oh, Twitter. All right. That's it for the games for tonight. The two stories that we can hit real quick before we wrap up. Second half schedule is out, which means the league is, I guess, now relatively confident that they're going to get through the season. The season is supposed to end May 16th. Then the play-in thing starts the next day, and then the actual playoffs start May 22nd. But I haven't looked at the schedules, but the two things that stuck out in the article to me were the Spurs and the Grizzlies have the most games. So not every team is playing the same amount of games because the Spurs and the Grizzlies are each having to cram 40 games into a 68-day stretch.
Wow.
Now, on the other end of the spectrum, somehow the Clippers only have to play 34 games in a 67-day period. And it says the NBA's goal is to have every team play its scheduled 72 games. Sources said the league is cognizant of the fact that all 30 teams might not be able to reach that number. There is limited flexibility within the schedule to add games or add dates on the calendar as the NBA wants to get the playoffs completed on time before the scheduled start of the Olympics. My question is, who's going to play in the Olympics? None of these guys want to play in the Olympics.
No, I think that might be in terms of ratings. Like, they don't want to be competing with the Olympics, right? For like, the playoffs and the finals that's how I interpreted that. I don't know.
It's different times and different fan bases. Don't you?
I mean, you don't want to be competing with it. I don't know. I mean, sports, I feel like fans in general.
If your game is, if your playoff games are like at 7 and 9:30 Eastern, like what's going on in the Olympics at that time? Nothing, right? Like what's going on at night? I mean, I guess it's on the other side of the planet, so I'm not sure at the time, but
I actually totally forgot about. Are there going to be NBA dudes in the Olympics? I don't even know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think. Well, the NBA or USA basketball is playing right now in like the FIBA Americas. Mm-hmm. Who's on that team?
Who?
Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, really?
And that's kind of cool. And Joe Johnson. They went 6-0.
That would be a really fun story if
it would be a fun story if they now they'd probably lose, but if they took a bunch of like big three players, essentially is what that is.
Yeah.
And just awesome. Had them go out there. But those guys would play hard because they're trying to, you know what I mean?
And the whole country would get behind them. I don't know. That would be cool. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I think they'd lose to some of these better Europe teams, don't you?
Probably.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really care about, like, people are like trying to analyze who has the easiest schedule. Like, I'm even looking at ESPN right now. Jazz have the easiest remaining strength schedule.
Really?
That's cool.
Yeah. I don't know how much I put into that.
Just it's impossible this year to really gauge strength of schedule because look, like for example, you're gonna factor in the Heat's record. Like if you play the Heat, then that factors in, but the Heat haven't been healthy. And then you got to factor in like the Celtics. They haven't been healthy. So a lot of these records that you're factoring strength of schedule don't matter because half the teams in the league haven't been healthy.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm thinking. Yeah. And you don't know if you're going to run up against a team that has a couple guys out, you know, and right, that team's not very good.
Right. So like the Lakers have a good record, but if you get to play them right after now. All-Star break or if over the next month, you have a good chance of winning. So strength of schedule doesn't really mean anything right now.
Yeah.
All right. The last thing is this, the Coaches Association released a statement on this, on the T-Wolves firing Ryan Saunders and hiring Chris Finch. So it said, it's always bittersweet when one coach is fired and another is hired, but this is not about individual coaches, which I don't actually love that statement, but we would be remiss not to acknowledge a deeper concern and a level of disappointment with the Minnesota head coach hiring process. The NBCA understands and respects each organization's right to hire and fire whomever and whenever it chooses, but it is also our responsibility to point out when an organization fails to conduct a thorough and transparent search of candidates from a wide range of diverse backgrounds.
Totally. That's right on point. That's right on target.
And Gerson Rosas, who, by the way, is a minority, so you know, take that for what it is, who is their GM. It's one of the few minority GMs. He released a statement basically saying like it's tough during the season to interview the wide range. I don't think that's the point though. I think that's kind of tone deaf to what the point is. The point is that they have a guy on their bench that everyone thinks should have been the head coach who's a black guy. You know what I mean? Like, so, but I'm just happy that the Coaches Association said anything because that was my first, remember when it first happened, my first thing was like, is the Coaches Association going to do anything here? Are they going to investigate? Are they going to do anything? Now, it still doesn't really answer my questions about talking to another team during the season before you've even fired your coach and like negotiating a multi-year deal while your current coach is still coaching the team.
I think that they hit on that with the word transparent in there. I mean, this was as non-transparent as possible.
Yeah, but they also said this is not about individual coaches. So they're obviously...
So it was about the process of going.
Yeah, I think it's back. More of about them not hire, not at least interviewing more like diverse candidates.
Yeah, and it's bullshit to say it's tough to do it during the season. The All-Star break's coming up. You couldn't wait a couple games, and everyone you can interview during the All-Star break. Like, break.
Look, I'll say this: I think teams should be hiring the best candidate, like the best person. But I also don't think like. The rule that you have to interview diverse candidates, it's like a double-edged sword, right? Because if you don't interview minority candidates, then you're not going to hire a minority candidate. But requiring teams to hire interview minority candidates, just I feel like that ends up making a lot of teams just bring in guys that they maybe wouldn't, and that's. more of an indictment on the teams, right? Like, yeah. I just don't know what the answer is.
I do. I know what you're saying, and I've thought about it a lot because the NFL has the Rooney rule.
The Rooney rule, right.
But it does get guys in the door, and, you know, he's shaking hands with, like, it makes
but it, like, it hasn't helped the enemy, right? Like,
no,
the NFL,
it definitely has not translated to the
more hires
appropriate amount of, you know, like, representative hires for minorities in the NFL. But I do think the rule is good in the sense that, like, it allows guys looking to advance their careers to make connections with high up dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's crazy to me that in a sport, I mean, I don't know NFL wise, because there's so many players and whatever, but in the NBA, that's like, what, like 80% black, 85% black, 75% black, mm-hmm. historically, not even just currently, like historically.
Yeah.
That, and historically speaking, you know, former players make good coaches, that there has to be, like, that teams have to be told to interview black candidates. It's crazy to me. I mean, you would think that, like, the majority of candidates would be former players who are majority black. Okay. It's just weird to me that we're still at this point where it's like, they have to put out a statement that they're mad that the team didn't give the black assistant coach who sits on their bench a chance to potentially be their head coach. It's crazy to me.
Yeah. No, I know. I don't have much to add. I mean, we're not that far removed from, like, an actual point blank racist owning a team. I'm not saying the,
listen, dude, there's still racists that point blank racists that own teams.
Right.
I'm pretty sure there's one in New York.
Well, I'm just saying that's why I'm not that surprised. It's just, it's messed up. It's not, it's skewed completely, and they gotta work to get it right.
You're going to tell me that there's not at least one or two of these old rich white dudes that are still running teams.
I'm just saying there's none that we're absolutely 100% sure of. There's
no other ones that have been caught on video or on audio or whatever.
God, that was insane. Could you imagine if that happened?
In terms of controversy, it's probably the worst moment in NBA history.
I think so.
Right?
The one that jumps into my head is Malice at the Palace, but I don't know if that both pretty bad.
Fight.
One,
it's a bad fight.
The power that Donald Sterling held, and then horrible.
I mean, ultimately, right? When I look back at Malice at the Palace, was it terrible? Yes. But I think it probably, in the end, probably led to a lot of reform in terms of fans and security and all that stuff. So it probably needed to happen. If you really look back on it, like, because fans are still, as we've seen this year with, oh yeah, we got to hit up COVID Karen or whatever her name is. Mm-hmm. Courtside Karen. Got to try to get her on the pod. But like, as we've seen time and time again, fans think that spending $100 on a ticket gives you the right to be a complete asshole to players. But like, think about, like, guys were running on the court during that shit.
Yeah.
Like, like, fans have always been bad, but I think there has been changes at least to try to protect the players more. And maybe it would have taken longer if Ron Artest and Jermaine O'Neal weren't beating the shit out of fans.
You know what the most underrated part of that whole situation was, is the throw of the beer. The fact that dude threw a beer, and it hit him and there was still liquid in the cup is remarkable.
Ron Artest, who since his career has ended, has become a huge advocate for mental health and mental health awareness. And he's very open about all the issues he's had in his life. But when he was a player, and in back then at that time, mental health awareness was not a huge thing. And he was a crazy person. If you throw a beer in the face of a crazy person, they're going to punch you in the face. Mm-hmm. Like, you look back on it, everyone's like, oh, he shouldn't have gone on the ground. He got a beer thrown in his face.
Yeah. No, I know.
Now, Steven Jackson, look now, and looking back on it even more so, Steven Jackson, Most people probably don't know his background. He's from Port Arthur, Texas. It's a city with one of the highest murder rates yearly in the United States. Grew up in one of the most dangerous cities in all. He sees his teammate running into a hostile crowd. Guy's going to go in there and swing it. I was with Jack for a year in Charlotte. There's no joking about how much of a badass that dude is, you know? So, and then Jermaine O'Neal, guy runs on the floor with his hands up. You're getting
that
punched.
Was a
you're
hell getting of a fucking
get right punched hook. In the face.
Oh my God.
Those are real like dudes, man, because there's a lot of guys in the NBA that in that moment would not have landed that shot. Like Jermaine O'Neal, you could tell like has fought someone before when he landed that shot. You know what I mean? There's a lot of guys in the NBA that probably would have either like locked up, tried to take the guy down, like try to throw the guy down, push the guy, get like walk away, try to get security. Jermaine O'Neal was like, nah,
I got this.
You're getting absolutely smoked right now. What a great, I'm going to go watch that later.
Yeah,
what a great moment in NBA history. Yeah, that's
a good moment.
It's not even controversial. Like do people look at it as controversial? I mean, I think if anything, there's a lot of people who look at the suspensions that were handed down as controversial because it sort of derailed a franchise that was headed in a good direction.
Yeah.
You know, like guys were out like for good, which I guess maybe you had to do that.
They kind of had to. But
that team was like a perennial. Think about that team. Ron Artest, Jermaine O'Neal, Jack. I think maybe a young Danny Granger. I don't know. Was he on that team? I don't know. But they were a good team every year. Good conference type, the conference championship level type of team. And then after that, they went through until they got Paul George, they went through years of being awful.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the controversy.
We'll do a separate, a bonus episode on it.
Yeah.
I have a sneeze that's right at the end of the barrel here. Oh man, that was pretty much the whole time we were talking about Malice at the Palace. That was.
I guess it's time to wrap it up on that.
Yep.
Well, we'll be back tomorrow, and I have a feeling that we're going to be much wealthier than all of you listeners.
I can't wait. We're closing on 11 hours away until pack drop.
Oh my God. I'm not gonna be able to sleep. I'm just gonna go take a long shower. I gotta calm myself down.
Yeah. Smart.
Also, before we wrap, I just want to congratulate Alex on making it through an episode in his new apartment without his computer freezing.
Woo!
So way to go. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of your computer.
Mm-hmm. That's my modem. I'm gonna go give my modem a hug.
It's a good sign. I think we're gonna get rich tomorrow.
Yeah.
So
love it.
And it'll make for an electric episode of NBA Morning Dew. So tune in on Friday. Mm-hmm. Later.
Later.
Nobody builds 5G. Like Verizon builds 5G, because we're the engineers who built the most reliable network in America. And the more you do with 5G, the more building it right matters. The more your network matters. The more Verizon engineers going the extra mile matters. It's us pushing us. It's Verizon versus Verizon. 5G built right from America's most reliable network. Most reliable based on rankings from RootMetrics second half 2020 U.S. report of 3 mobile networks. Results may vary. Award is not an endorsement.